Thank you, Lord. It is a joy to be here in your presence, Lord. We just ask now that you would take your word and that you would feed us, Lord, with your word, your daily bread. Let it be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, and possibly in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to finish it, but I'm going to speak on covenants of God. And so let's first turn to Genesis chapter 2. I see this as the beginning of covenants with God, because he created the heavens and the earth, and then he formed this man out of the dust, and he places him in a special place just for him, and he gives him some instructions. Genesis 2, starting in verse 16. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." But we know the story well, and I'm going to actually go through the story a little bit and give some observations. And the first is the consequences of what actually took place in the garden. And we know that God had taken this man, and he gave him an assignment. And this was before Eve was made. He gave him an assignment to name all the animals and see if there was a suitable helpmate for Adam. And he names all these animals and stuff, and this says there wasn't found a suitable helper for him. And then it's right after that, he says it's not good for man to be alone, and he makes Eve actually takes a rib out of his side and makes a woman. I'm jumping ahead in my thoughts here. So anyway, I'm going to go through the consequences here first, and then I'm going to review it. In verse 14 and 15, this is the response after both Adam and Eve had taken the apple. Or the fruit, I should say. We don't know that it's an apple. "On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head." Some versions say crush you on the head. "And you shall bruise or crush him on the heel." This is a clear indication of the prophetic speaking, pointing to Jesus Christ. That there was going to be a woman who had a seed, and the seed was him, and he crushes his head. And then to the woman in verse 16, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." So something changed after the fall for the woman. It had to do with raising children and the pain of birthing them and then bringing them forth. And that the relationship now with her husband is going to change a little bit because she didn't obey him. He was the one that instructed her not to eat of the tree, and she decided to not listen to her husband's counsel. And then in the man, Adam, verses 17 and 19, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I command you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread until you return to the ground, because it from you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So man's life from that moment forward was now going to be in labor. God had already provided everything that was needed in the garden. And yet because of their disobedience, they're now going to have to toil and labor in bringing forth food for themselves. And now the Lord himself, who's there, verses 21-24, the Lord made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Then the Lord said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might stretch out his hand to take from the tree of life and eat from it forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned in every direction to guard the way of the tree of life. So he was now banished from the Garden of Eden. So why do I start here with regards to covenants? Because when we look through the rest of the covenants as we go through them, there'll be declarations of God. It's not a deal he's making with you like we make here. You know, if you do this, I'll do this. And, you know, if you give me so much money, I'll build a house. No, this is God making a declaration. He says this is the way things are going to be. Why? Because he's God. And we're a created being. And so he gives us instructions, but he's not doing it for us to put a yoke around our neck. He's doing it because he wants freedom. He wants freedom for us. He wants, first of all, freedom of choice. He wants to take his people and let them be free, but at the same time, well, now because of sins in the world, things have changed, and he's had to change because of that. But so when you think about it, here was Adam. God takes this bunch of dust or dirt, whatever you want to call it, and he fashions them and he breathes into them, and all of a sudden there was a living being. Now instantly theirs is this man, right? How tall is he? I have no idea. It doesn't really matter. But he's just been created, and already he's fully capable of understanding God, communicating with God, and understanding everything that he says. Everything's perfect. Everything's beautiful. There's no sin. There's no doubt. It's just like, oh, this is God, and I'm Adam, and we're having this relationship. And so there's no thought of past. There's no thought of, is he bigger than me or better than me? It's like none of that. None of that's there. It's all pure. It's clean. It's beautiful. And he says, just don't eat of that tree. And then he makes Eve, and the same thing happens with Eve. The first surgery on earth. As God opens the side of Adam and takes a rib out. I don't know if he used a saw or whatever, but he just... And then all of a sudden, she's just there. Oh, I know this God, and I know this man, and we can talk, we can communicate, and everything's beautiful and perfect. There's no doubt. There's no pressure. There's no envy. There's no strife. There's nothing. There's none of that. And we can't even imagine that. Because that's what God wants for us. He wants for us to be in that place of total surrender. And in this case, it's not even surrender. It's just like, oh, whatever you want, Lord, I'm just going to do it. And that's what happens with Adam, is he tells him to go, and this was before Eve was brought into the picture. I want you to just name all these animals, and if you find that suitable helpmate, take it, right? And we know that that was kind of crazy, but... And he makes this being, and he says, whoa, man. I think most guys can understand that. Whoa, man. Whoa, God. And so now they're, who knows how long they were in the Garden of Eden before the serpent comes, right? It says the serpent was more craftier than all the animals. So he was portraying himself as an animal. Any case, this animal comes and starts talking to Eve. She doesn't question it. It's like, oh. I mean, when you really think about it, everything's pure, everything's clean. Oh, here's an animal. It's talking to me. I can understand you. Let's have a conversation with this animal. And this animal begins to speak to her. Let me get to that. I want to find that scripture. Hold on a second, folks. This is Exodus chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from the tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. So here she's just having this regular conversation, and she just gives him the right answer. I don't think she has a clue of what's going on. And so we know that because God had told Adam this command before Eve was even created, we know that he did his job by communicating to Eve what the command was. Don't touch that. Verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. For God knows in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. Opened to what? Evil. It was open to evil. So here is a perfect situation that God created for his creation. And he wanted them to have the freedom to choose. And they made a mistake. And that mistake affected the whole course of the human race today. But God in his grace and his mercy, because that's who he is. They didn't die physically immediately. But I know that in that moment, they died in their heart. I know when things are going really well for me, and just, you know, praise the Lord and all this other good thing, and then all of a sudden something comes out of my mouth which is totally inappropriate. And generally it's a lie, just like the serpent. Immediately, my whole demeanor just implodes. It's like, oh my goodness, I just lied. What am I going to do about it? I want to give you a quick little story. And Bruce doesn't even know this. Anyway, Bruce called me a couple weeks ago. Has to do with the men's meeting. And he was saying, hey, did you get an answer about the men's meeting? Because we met up at his house. And I said, no, we were in the elders meeting, and we never got to that question just because other things were going on. And so I said, you know, as soon as I have an answer for you, I'll call you back, right? Something like that, right? So I hang up the phone, and immediately this thought came into my mind. Did you just tell him the truth? And I was like, did we really have it on the list and not take care of that? And I was just in the process of, I said, I got to make this right. I was ready to call Bruce back and say, Bruce, I just lied to you. That was not the case. I had thought, it was like in a split second, I had thought I had forgot about it and I didn't have it in my notes. But in that moment, my whole life just imploded. It just caved in because it was like, oh, man. Praise the Lord. I looked on my notes and there it was. Bruce Holmes. Men's meeting, and I hadn't crossed it off, which means we didn't go over it. I had my other list, everything's crossed off, but that was the one we didn't cross off. I said, oh man, good, I don't have to call Bruce. But you know, because of the covenant I'm now under, the covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ, those things are so important. He'll convict you if you've stolen, if you've lied. The Holy Spirit's there to convict us, not to condemn us. He gives us the freedom, Paul. What are you going to do about it? I have to humble myself and call and ask forgiveness, had that been the case. And that's what Jesus, not Jesus, that's what God did in the garden. I just can't imagine this couple knowing what was given them, and then they make this decision, they break the covenant of God. In other words, they were told what to do, they break the covenant of God. And now for the rest of their life, probably over 900 years, they're having to live out of the Garden of Eden, toiling and dealing with life's dark circumstances. And having to live with that. In Christ, I know we have forgiveness, but there was an indication that God did forgive them. Because God had to slaughter animals because it says he clothed them with skin. They were sitting there with these little leaves, you know, and leaves don't last very long. Like maybe a week and they start getting brown and then they just start crumbling and they're totally useless. They weren't meant to cover up their nakedness because in God everything was pure and clean. There wasn't any evil in that. God said he created, said it was good. And when he created man and woman, he says, very, very good. But in that moment, God clothes them. He spills blood. Again, another indication of what will happen when he comes, when he empties himself and he comes as a man and he sheds his blood and he clothes us with his righteousness. And boy, I bet they told stories over those 900 years about what happened in the garden. I'm sure of it because we have the story here. The story came down. Here it is. God's mercy. The broken covenant, but yet he had mercy. And he was going to deal with the serpent, which he's done. He's already done that. Okay, let's now we're going to go to Noah. Turn to Genesis 6. Genesis 6, starting in verse 5, it says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, 'I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry I have made them.'" What a hard thing for our God. Something that he loved and cared for, and it was all corrupted. But in verse 8, it says, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Then God said to Noah, 'The end of all flesh has come to me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I'm about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms and shall cover its inside and out with pitch.'" Chapter 8, verse 20. This is Noah's response after the flood. "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar." And verse 21, God's response. "The Lord smelled the soothing aroma, and the Lord said to himself, 'I will never again curse the ground on account of man, for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth, and I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease.'" Chapter 9. "And God blessed Noah with his sons and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and I will fill the earth. The fear of you and the terror of you will be on every beast of the earth and on every bird of the sky, with everything that creeps on the ground, and all flesh of the sea. Into your hand they are given.'" And now some changes were made. Every moving thing that is alive shall be food for you. I will give it to you as I gave the green plant only. You shall not eat the flesh with its life, that is the blood. Surely I will require your lifeblood from every beast, I will require it, and from every man and from every man's brother, I will require the life of man. And then God puts in some governing rules. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made them. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply, populate the earth abundantly and multiply it. And the sign of that covenant, as we all know, is he says, I set my bow in the cloud. First of all, it's very interesting about Noah. I want you to turn to Genesis 5:29. Well, start in verse 28. Lamech lived 182 years and became the father of a son. Now he called his name Noah, saying, this one will give us rest from our work and from the toil of our hands, arising from the ground which the Lord had cursed. That's a prophetic word of what's going to happen. God is going to remove the curse from the ground through Noah. And actually, his name means quiet, and it means rest. So now turn to chapter 8, 21, 22. We'll start in verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. The Lord smelled the smoothing aroma, and the Lord said to himself, I will never again curse the ground on account of man, for the intent of man's heart is evil and is from his youth, and I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done. So there was a renewing of the earth during that flood. And God also gave commandments. He says, now, if someone basically sheds another man's blood, he is to be killed. That's corporal punishment. And God put that in the hands of man to do that. It's very interesting. Because God didn't want to destroy the earth, and he was giving them opportunity to work through their difficulties. To me, this is an absolute success story. Here's this man who had lived 500 years in a corrupt society. It says then he had these three boys. And then right after he had the three boys is when God comes to him and says, I want you to build this thing because I'm going to destroy the earth. And when you look at the different sequences of time, it basically took them 100 years to build the ark. And I was thinking, we think about God's calling and his covenant. And so here was a specific call for a man. It was really one task. Can you imagine if God called you to one task? And what if it took you 100 years? Would you be faithful to that one task? Because I know that what God wants of me, what he wants of his children, is knowing that we are in a covenant relationship with him. And that what he's using you for is a very specific purpose. And would you be willing to stay focused on that task until it's completed? And in his case, 100 years. Our case, I don't think we have 100 years to be focused on one task for the Lord. This guy never complained. He just did it. God gave him plans, and he builds this boat, and the boat was successful. It literally was on the water for about 10.5 months. By the time the flood came, raised up all the waters, and they all subsided, it was about 10.5 months. But what Noah did for God is he restored the earth and saved the human race. See, God is all about life. And it was from that family that the rest of the earth has been refilled once again. And I know here today, under the covenant of Jesus Christ, each of you has a calling. Each and every one of you has a calling of God. And it should be, yes, Lord, I will do that. We recently had a word that was sent over the internet or sent to Peter on a text message because Mary Plantier was online for a Friday night meeting, and he winds up texting her because the meeting got over and she never got to say what she wanted to say. But her what she wanted to say was very simple. She said, don't give up. I just can't imagine what mockery and sneering and what the heck are you building, Noah? What are all these logs for? Did he have to fight men off to get the thing done? I don't know. We don't know that part of the story. But if you ever go out west to the replica of Noah's Ark, it's pretty impressive. It's a pretty big boat. Has anybody seen that? A couple hands. It's quite an impressive structure. So these are a couple of things I want us to take home with us today. Things that we can learn about these two particular time periods. Going back to Adam and Eve, God is right and mean what he says. There is a serpent, the devil, and he is a liar, and he wants you to die. Adam and Eve did not physically die in a moment. They ate the fruit, but death surely came immediately into their hearts. Adam lived for 930 years. Life for Adam and Eve became very difficult and were cast out of the Garden of Eden. God was gracious and compassionate toward Adam and Eve and clothed them with animal skins. A sacrifice was made for their covering. The head of the serpent will one day be bruised or crushed by the seed of the woman, and we know that's Jesus. A covenant is a decree from God motivated by his love for the benefit of mankind, whom he created in his likeness and in his image. God always gives us a choice to respond to his love by following his command or not. And then points under Noah. It is possible to have a good relationship with God even in the midst of a corrupt society. Don't blame the society for your lack of commitment to the Lord. That's not an excuse. It's not an appropriate excuse. There is no excuse. God may call you to a very unusual task. It may take you 100 years to accomplish. Stay the course. It will bring life and redemption and worship to our God. That's the first thing that Noah did. He came out, he built an altar, and he burnt sacrifices to him. God never said for him to do that. It was just out of his heart to worship the Lord, to take these animals. In fact, it may be the start of something brand new, what God has called you to do. Also, may we govern according to the will of God. And God's covenant sign is still seen today. Every time you see the rainbow, that was his covenant from that time. So, Father, I thank you for your faithfulness. There's so many songs that have come out in the past year or two about your faithfulness to us over and over. And, Lord, we're going to continually sing of your faithfulness. Lord, may we be faithful in the covenant that you called us to. May we take our responsibility and calling that you've given us seriously. Let us put our hands to the plow and not look back. And let us produce for you only what you can do through us. And that is an eternal kingdom that comes out of heaven to this little ball in space called Earth. Thank you, Lord. So that's it for today on covenants. I'll probably have part 2, maybe 3 at some point soon.